Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The state Senate passed its version of the biennial budget this week that cut taxes again and gives teachers a raise, but also leaves many of the state's needs unaddressed. Here to talk about what the Senate budget proposal means for North Carolina schools is Cedric Johnson with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center in Raleigh. Well, Cedric, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
I want to get into what this budget does or doesn't do for public schools in a moment, but I wondered sort of, you've had a chance now to look over this massive document. What are your overall impressions about the choices the Senate made?
Senator Berger was correct in his articulating that this is basically and continues an austerity path towards putting the budget together here in the state. A modest increase in spending over last year, but I think the bigger point is that we're still spending less when you ingest the budget for inflation than we were pre-recession. And so as a growing state, we still have a budget that does not meet the needs of where we were 8 years ago. So that raises the question of, can we really be a competitive state if we're not investing adequately in public services and investments that drive the state forward?
And I guess before we get into education, the big reason for that is that they chose to cut taxes again.
Once again, that's right. And so we've been on a steady path of cutting taxes that largely benefits the higher income individuals in the state as well as profitable corporations. Before this budget was even released, the net impact of that is we would have around $3 billion more in available revenue this year had those tax cuts since 2013 not been passed. And now they tuck in another billion-dollar tax cut in the budget, which limits the choices that we see reflected in the budget.
You spent a lot of time looking at education. Senator Berger and Senator Brown both have said repeatedly this week that this is a big increase in education spending, and this moves us forward in public schools.
All right. It's important to place the context. So since the recession, we have more than 81,000 kids more in our classrooms today. The biggest ticket item in the K-12 budget is teacher pay raises, which everyone's expected would be a part of the budget. But beyond that, we are seeing very little to no investments in the actual classroom. So we all agree that we need to compensate our teachers better, but we also should make sure that our schools have the resources they need to provide all kids a quality education. And so when you look through the budget, there's very little in there in addressing the textbook issue, the instructional supplies issues, the fact that teachers still have to pay out of pocket to make sure they have the materials to teach the kids. And so the question is, are we going to actually address the entire aspect of what it means to educate a kid? And the Senate budget falls well short of doing that.
I guess it wasn't too many years ago that all salaries were sort of a different line item in the budget. When you increase education spending, it was considered non-salary items. But it's almost as if now they're using, not that we don't think teachers should have a raise, but they're using a teacher raise to act like they're increasing spending dramatically.
And that's an important point because, you know, we tend at the state level to focus just on the high level numbers. But the reality is when you back out prior to maybe 2 or 3 years ago, state lawmakers used to put pay raises for state employees and teachers into a reserve fund within the budget. So it was not included in the actual K-12 budget. But now they tuck it in, they stuff it in, and it inflates the spending, and it doesn't really show you what's actually being new dollars invested in the classroom. And so when you back out the teacher pay raise going back in recent years, what you'll find is that we're actually spending less than we were for public schools compared to the pre-recession levels. And so, again, I think that just highlights, you know, and it raises the questions, are we really ensuring that schools and teachers have what they need to provide all kids a quality education? And I think the answer would be no if we really looked in and acknowledged what's happening here in North Carolina.
I want to get back to something you said earlier. I guess Senator Brown made a comment, we can't spend, you know, we never can spend enough. And other senators said they don't really have the resources available to do a lot more investments in education. But the budget really is choices.
Absolutely. A great example is the class size issue with our public schools. So it was state lawmakers who 2 years ago mandated that schools reduce the class size for kindergarten through third grade classrooms. But they forgot an important piece, or maybe they deliberately forgot it, but they didn't fund it. And so, you know, that the buck drops down to the local level when the state doesn't fund, you know, such mandates. And rather than going back and revisiting what they did 2 years ago and actually putting the money with it, they actually just simply kicked the bucket down the road a year and basically say, we'll figure this out next year. But schools still have to make decisions regarding how many teachers are in the classroom, how many TAs and other support services are available for educating our kids. And so, you know, there are short-term and long-term implications to the decisions we're making at the state level regarding, are we willing to invest in what we say we care about?
not to get in too much detail, but higher education also is a place where has suffered a lot of cuts. The university system, there doesn't seem to be an effort to replenish those cuts this year.
Right. You see, I think it's apparent that it's actually it's not the priority. I mean, you look in the budget and the UNC system is required to make another what they call a flexibility cut. So it's like you have to find X million dollars to in additional cuts. The last figure I have is I think that over the last 7 or 8 years, the combined flexibility cut, which is basically them saying find cuts in your operating budget, is well over $600 million away from other cuts in the budget. This is just find extra meat, what they call meat on the bones, but there's no more meat on the bones. You're basically cutting into the bone right now. And that has implication because we're saying that we want to make sure kids graduate from college on time, that they are workforce ready, have the skills that's needed to attract jobs and boost the economy here. But when you look at the budget, it raises serious questions of, are we really ensuring that our public university system, which is a national model for a system that extends access to education to a large number of people in the state, it raises a question about the quality of this asset in the state going forward.
Obviously, you've heard this argument a lot. Senator Berger and others say the reason that they always put tax cuts first is that it grows the economy and helps everybody, and that's why North Carolina has had the Carolina comeback.
Right. A number of other states can add comeback on the front end of their state's name, because the reality is in North Carolina's recovery is basically mimicking the national economy. So we have $580 million revenue over collections. But Georgia is expecting the same thing, and other states are seeing their respective state economies improving. And so to attribute the tax cuts to something that's naturally happening across the nation is, one, it's incorrect, and two, it leads to choices, as we're seeing with the Senate budget, is that it's being used to promote more tax cuts that reduces the revenue that will be available to ensure that prosperity in the state is broadly shared rather than flowing to essentially the wealthiest here in the state.
Ideally, what would happen now? It's the House's turn. What do you hope the House will do?
So the Senate has obviously staked this flag in the ground of where it envisions the state going for the next 2 years in regards to what we fund and how we fund it. Now it's up to the House to determine, like, does this make sense? Basically, does this make sense what the Senate has put forward? The Senate's budget is definitely not in line with what the governor recommended earlier this year. So the question is, will the House fund public schools, boost investments for public schools? Will we do more for disaster relief for Hurricane Matthew victims? Will we address the higher education and make sure that college is more affordable? Will we provide boost investments for health care services for North Carolinians across the state? You know, there are a number of areas within the state budget that, one, the Senate doesn't address, but two, have been lacking for years now, that the question is, will the House actually move away from this austerity-oriented approach that the Senate is sticking to and actually start to get us on pace and on a path to actually growing and recovering in a way that economic prosperity here in the state is actually broadly shared across the state?
Well, let's hope they follow that advice. Thanks for all you're doing to help us understand it, and we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Up next, a second chance for people with criminal records. Stay with us.